Let's continue reading verses 10 through 15 of Joshua 5. Now, in the second half of the chapter, we have three significant events. The children of Israel celebrate the Passover, the manna is stopped, and the Lord appears to Joshua. Joshua chapter 5, beginning of verse 10. Now the children of Israel camped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at twilight on the plains of Jericho. And they ate of the produce of the land on the day after the Passover, unleavened bread and parched grain on the very same day. Then the manna ceased on the day after they had eaten the produce of the land. And the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land of Canaan that year. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" So he said, "No, but as commander of the army of the Lord I have now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy." And Joshua did so. Once again, some background notes. Gilgal was located on the west side of the Jordan River, about 2 miles northeast of Jericho. Gilgal became Israel's base camp for their military conquest of the land. We read several times throughout this book that they were camped in Gilgal, or they returned to Gilgal. Gilgal is where they set up one of the stone monuments to commemorate their crossing of the Jordan. Gilgal is where the new nation was circumcised. And here in the second half of chapter 5, we see that Gilgal is where they celebrate the Passover, and Gilgal is where they first eat of the food of the land after the manna stops, and Gilgal is the place where the Lord, as commander of the Lord's army, appears to Joshua. Now, all of these events have spiritual lessons for us. We've already seen that the land of Canaan is a spiritual picture or type of the spiritual land that God wants us to possess. This is the land of spiritual blessings and spiritual battles. It's in the land that we enjoy our spiritual blessings in Christ, and it's in the land that we win spiritual battles in the power of Christ. The land is called the heavenlies, or heavenly places in the book of Ephesians in the New Testament. Not heaven, but the heavenlies. It's the realm or sphere of spiritual realities. Now, we've already seen in this wonderful spiritual picture here in Joshua that the ark, a type of Christ, opens up the way into the land. We enter the land by first of all recognizing our spiritual position in Christ, that we have died with Christ, and we have been raised with Christ. Remember the stones. And then we must practice spiritual circumcision, putting the knife of God's word to our fleshly desires. It is the judgment of self, or death to self principle, so that Christ can live his life through us. And now here in the second half of Joshua chapter 5, we see three more prerequisites for living in the land. So we'll make these three events at Gilgal our three doctrinal or teaching points for this section of Joshua 5. So doctrinal point number one, committed believers observe the remembrance feast in the land. Committed believers observe the remembrance feast in the land. Verse 10, now the children of Israel camped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at twilight on the plains of Jericho. Notice how they arrived in the land just in time to keep the Passover. According to Exodus 12:6, the Passover was to be celebrated on the 14th day of the month. We don't read of the children of Israel keeping the Passover all during their wilderness wanderings, after their great sin of unbelief. But now they are following the Lord, and they are trusting the Lord, and they are in the land. Now they remember the Lord and how the Lord delivered them out of Egypt in the celebration of the Passover. Do you see the spiritual picture for Christians here? We don't keep the Passover, but we keep the remembrance feast of the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians 5:7 says, Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. In the Lord's Supper, we remember what the Lord has done for us in delivering us from sin. We remember the basis of our salvation. Notice that circumcision comes before the Passover here. In fact, that's the way the Passover was instituted. Let me read to you Exodus chapter 12, verse 48. And when a stranger dwells with you and wants to keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as a native of the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat it. Do you see the spiritual picture here? In the same way, spiritual circumcision or self-judgment should come before the Lord's Supper. We read in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 28, in reference to the Lord's Supper, that we are to examine ourselves before we eat of the bread and drink of the cup, so that we do not partake in an unworthy manner. Let me ask you here this morning, how much do you appreciate the Lord's Supper, the remembrance feast, the Lord's Supper? If you're in the land, you'll enjoy the celebration of this remembrance feast. If you're not in the land, attending the Lord's Supper will be just going through the motions for you. How is it in your life? Committed believers observe the remembrance feast in the land. Doctrinal point number two. Committed believers eat the food of the land. Committed believers eat the food of the land. Verses 11 and 12. And they ate of the produce of the land on the day after the Passover, unleavened bread and parched grain on the very same day. Then the manna ceased on the day after they had eaten the produce of the land. And the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land of Canaan that year. The unleavened bread that they eat here is because of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which follows the Passover. Notice that the giving of the manna for food in the wilderness was a miracle, and also the stopping of the manna was a miracle. Now the people in the land eat the food of the land. Now what's the spiritual lesson for us here anyway? In the spiritual picture that God has given us here, we know that the manna is a picture of Christ because the Lord says so in John chapter 6. He is the bread of life come down from heaven. John chapter 6. The food of the land is also a picture of Christ. Christ is not only our Savior, he's our sustenance. He is food for our souls. Now see if you follow this. The manna particularly pictures Christ in his earthly ministry. The food of the land pictures Christ in his heavenly ministry now. Let me ask you, is the food for your soul only the earthly ministry of Christ, what we have in the gospel record? Or have you gone further and Christ has risen, ascended, and glorified, and now living his life through you? That's become food for your soul as well. Do you follow the spiritual picture? To feed, as it were, on Christ, risen, ascended, glorified, and living his life through us. This is the food of the land. Committed believers eat the food of the land. Doctrinal point number three. Committed believers serve the Lord of the land. Committed believers serve the Lord of the land. Verses 13 through 15. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? So he said, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. We believe that the man here who appeared to Joshua was a Christophany. That is, the pre-incarnate Son of God taking on the form and appearance of a man. This was the Lord himself. Only God receives worship. And the man here receives worship from Joshua, showing it was the Lord himself. Joshua asked him, as we've read here, are you for us or for our adversaries? The Lord essentially says, no, Joshua, you're asking the wrong question. I should be asking you that question. I'm the commander of the Lord's army. I call the shots. At this point, Joshua recognizes that this is the Lord himself, and he fell on his face to the earth and worshiped. And he said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? And he took off his shoes and was prepared to do whatever the Lord said. Let me ask you, have we come to that place in our lives as believers? On the one hand, do we recognize that the Lord is on our side and will fight for us? We have the sword of the Lord on our side and all his holy angels. What an army! Have we realized that? But now on the other hand, do we recognize that he is the Lord? Have we taken off our shoes, as it were? We're on holy ground. We're not playing church. This is holy business. You know, the Lord said to the people back in chapter 3, verse 4, you have not passed this way before. In the land, we must stay close to the Lord. There will be some new experiences. There are not only the spiritual blessings to enjoy, there are the spiritual battles to be won. We need to stay close to the Lord. Committed believers serve the Lord of the land. Practical application. You can always be sure of your next meal. You can always be sure of your next meal. Now, where do we see that? Notice from verse 12 that after 40 years, the manna did not stop a month or a week before the food of the land was available. It didn't even stop a day before. It stopped a day after. In other words, there was enough overlap so that the people never missed a meal. Isn't that amazing? Did you know the manna fell on the day they worshiped the golden calf? Talk about the grace of God. But do you see the lesson for us here? God doesn't miscalculate. If you're one of God's children, you can depend on your heavenly Father to meet your needs. In Matthew 6:33, our Lord said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, that is, all your basic needs, will be added unto you. God may change his source of supply, but he will supply. God changed his source of supply for Elijah, remember? Bread and meat dropped off by ravens, and then food from a poor widow. But Elijah never missed a meal. God supplied. Here it was manna, bread from heaven, a miraculous source, and then it was the food of the land, the wheat of the land. God has many sources of supply. So whether it be financial needs for a ministry or literally bread on your table, you can be sure the well will never run dry if you look to your Heavenly Father. God may change his source of supply, but you can always be sure of your next meal.